Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I'm welcoming community favorite Lainey Hatcher. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Lainey Hatcher is a firm believer that there is a spreadsheet for every occasion and pie is always the answer. She's the author of series, both old and new, where the HEAs are always guaranteed, often too practical for her own good. Lainey enjoys her life in the southern United States with her husband, children, and incredibly entitled cat. That's funny.
Yeah, very accurate. She'll probably be up here in a little bit, meowing, wondering what's going on and how
That's
can
okay.
she be involved?
Well, my dog, he's curled up right next to me. So before we talk about your newest book, Leave You Hanging, let's get to know you as an author. So you started on the scene writing historical Penny Reed retellings almost.
Yep.
Why? Not why, because we all know Penny and we all love Penny, but what made you make that choice?
So it was a very specific goal, I guess, and I had sort of this idea to do, to have the retelling, Janie and Quinn set in Regency. Those are characters from Knitting in the City series. You guys know that. But literally it would keep me up at night. I would wake up thinking about them, putting them in different scenarios and, dropping them in back in time and seeing what happened and thinking about ways to parallel with the contemporary series. And literally I couldn't sleep. So I started writing. I wrote the first chapter. I was like, I'm just going to do it. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never written a book, but I'm just going to go for it. And then, so I wrote the first chapter and submissions came open and I just sent it in. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my husband. I told no one. And I just sent it off under a pen name, didn't think about it again. And then Penny posted in her Sharks of Awesome, her Facebook reader group, something to the effect of, oh my God, we just got a submission for Regency retelling, da 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 da. And like, I almost fell out of my chair. Like I was like, oh God, she knows it exists. And
like she actually read these words.
Yeah. And that was before, like, you're offered a spot or you're offered a contract or whatever.
Right.
She was just in passing mentioning it. And I was like, well, this is it. This is the end. So initially writing was just, it was that very specific goal. I hadn't had other experience. I hadn't, I didn't write from a young age. I didn't even love reading from a young age. Like I didn't start reading seriously until I was in college because I felt like I was behind. So I started reading classics in college. I would read one a month. Like I had a whole list. It was a whole thing. And then I found romance and then,
And then you went down that
my
rabbit hole and
story.
have never returned.
Exactly. Like that's a dark, dark path. No, not really.
I mean, it can be. It depends on what you're reading.
It depends on what you're into. I'm not one to kink shame. But yeah, so that it was a very specific goal. And then as that sort of came about, I had more ideas for a series of my own. And so I started releasing those and then it just sort of evolved from there. I've learned that the ideas, luckily at this point, the ideas keep coming. And I feel very grateful for that. So I have lots of avenues I'd love to explore.
So your first few books, like in your own world, they were historicals, but you've moved into contemporary. Do you think you're going to go back to historical at any point?
It's really hard to say. I have a whole nother, I have a 5-book historical romance series plotted. I'm a heavy plotter. And I, I have the names, I have the dates, I have it all plotted. I just haven't found the time to go back. And I feel like switching gears and changing lanes at this point would not be the move. So I'm staying contemporary for the next little bit.
Because I will say I'm not a huge historical reader. Like I've never been a big fan of them. My mom had the, like, she was always a contemporary, like, romance reader. She didn't have a ton. I mean, she had historicals, but I never read those ones when I wasn't supposed to be reading them anyway. But yeah, so I but your historicals are some of the few that I've read, and I really enjoyed your characters and the way that like you created the stories. And it's like you had there are these historical characters, but like contemporary feel to them at the same time. Like I
Yeah,
felt it was worked like really well with that blend.
I would agree with that. And I've seen it in reviews I've gotten, and that it's very welcoming to a contemporary reader. I write in first person point of view, which is a huge no-no in historical romance. That someone who's really like a purist in the genre is not, they're not going to read my books and be excited, or so it's more welcoming for a contemporary reader, and I think that that's just the way I write. Like I can't, I don't know that I can change that, and if I did, it wouldn't be my voice, and I don't want that. So
That's interesting that you say that, because we're actually working on an episode in the future about first person and third person and the great debate of it. Because it is a hot button issue, and it is a debate thing. And it's like there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of purists, for the lack of a better term, who think that third person is the only way to go. And it's like, but newer readers and are really enjoying that first person side of it.
Yeah, it's probably also the same people who are flipping out about illustrated covers for historical,
Or the third act
things.
breakup.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be something to fight about because it's so subjective, and
Oh, yeah.
you like what you like, and but things change, markets change, audiences change,
Oh,
and you
yeah.
sort of have to. You
Adapt.
have to adapt, yeah.
So you said you're a heavy plotter. Now, do you plot out like your characters, then your chapters? Do you kind of have an idea of the story and then the characters come to you after that? Like, what kind of order do you go with that?
I would say that the characters come first, I guess, and then the plot. And I sort of have I keep one doc, or I usually start with a notebook and I write by hand. And just like an info dump of everything that I'm thinking about, that I, where it's going to end up, how it's going to go. Usually the big moments come first, like the third act breakup, which, sorry, spoiler alert, I always write those. So the big moments come to me first. And then a lot of times, for whatever reason, when I'm driving in my car is when I have all the dialogue loves to like come at that point. So I have a notebook that I keep in my car, and thank goodness my kids are big enough now that I can like be like, grab the notebook, and they know. And I'll give them some like shorthand that they have no idea what I'm talking about,
But
but they
you
will write
know.
down, yeah, that I will know and be able to come back to later. But before, a few years ago, before that was, or if I'm by myself, I will literally pull over and write down in my little notebook, and then I'll come back and bring it back home. But so I have a general doc where I just dump everything that I'm sort of thinking and feeling, and there will be random snippets of dialogue, and then I break it down by chapter, and I plot out all my chapters before I ever start writing. And I always write very linearly. I always write in order, chapter one to the epilogue, and I've never tried to deviate.
I mean,
And I love.
what works works, and I wouldn't mess with that,
Yeah.
because I mean, I tell this to every author that I talk to, but that's one of the things I love about these spotlights, is learning how different every single author's approach to writing is. Like, I talked to an author where she writes her books completely out of order, and I was like, well, I read books out of order, so that kind of works for me. And
Yeah.
she, but it's just everybody plot, like their plot plan is different, how they plot, whether they plot, how the characters speak to them. It's just such a fascinating thing, because it's such a personal like way to get from point A to point B, but no two journeys are the same at all. Like, even if there's similarities here or there, it's completely different at the same time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that we're all so completely different in our process, and it does repeat for me, like the way I do things. I've kept it the same since the very beginning. Like there are a few things that are more streamlined now, but like I write the same way, I edit the same way. And we go through these moments where I'm rereading stuff, and I will like always on the second pass. I think it's the worst thing I've ever written. And I almost trash it all every time. But by the time I do my proofread pass, I'm like remembering, I'm like, I wrote this. Man, that's funny. Or that, like it changes and it's always the same way. Like I talk to my author friends about this and it's like, oh man, I'm in a stage where this is just complete trash or, or this is feeling good. So,
They're like, I
yeah.
know how you feel.
We all have those and all at different, our own paces. So that's really cool.
So when you do sit down and start actually writing the story fully, do you have any rituals or habits that help you stay focused?
I write almost always in the morning. I just feel more productive before lunch for whatever reason. And then the afternoon always falls apart with like kids pick up and making dinner and life stuff happens in the afternoon. But in the morning I can sit down and it has to be totally silent in the house. I cannot have music playing.
Oh,
I can't
really?
I yeah, I can't even string an email together if there's like Taylor Swift on somewhere. Like I can't
You
do
need
it.
like a soundproof closet, essentially.
I really do. Yeah, I have to have noise canceling everything. And I try to do 1,000 words a day. That's like, yes, that's my goal. It generally happens. I'm just,
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
yeah, but generally, yes. So yeah, I try to be productive in the morning. That's my main thing.
That's your happy spot. So
That's
do
my sweet
you,
spot.
for you, like as you're writing and plotting, how do you create the balance between the romantic relationship with the other elements of the story? Because your stories are not necessarily romance heavy, like the outward, like the full story is a big part of your books, but there's a healthy balance there. How, as you as the writer, create that balance?
So I always try to have my characters, the male main character and the female main character, have their own journey, their own arc, where they are growing and changing on their own. But I always have that woven in with the romance and always impacted by the romance. You got to have the romance driving your story, to keep the reader flipping pages. So usually those character arcs or character journeys are focused on some sort of wound or something in their past, something that they have to either overcome or face. And usually it's the romance portion that is going to make them address it in some way. So I try to always have those moments that are braided together so it doesn't feel separate. You want the romance to just, weave in and out of their lives. I mean, that's the way it is in real life too. You can't separate yourself from whatever relationship you're in. So that's sort of how I do it. I try to always have a way that the characters are growing and growing together. So.
Do you have a favorite trope to read or write?
Man, okay. I will say I love Enemies to Lovers. I love reading it and I love writing it. The banter is so fun. Some authors, they just do it so well. And I love reading that. Like Allie Hazelwood banter is just top tier. So that's really up there for me as Enemies to Lovers. And I will say, maybe this hasn't been out there. Maybe this is a secret. My secret favorite trope is amnesia.
I really enjoy an amnesia trope, but it is really hard to do well.
It is, and you see it a lot in historical, but because I mean, I don't know, for whatever reason they're getting injured and falling off a ship or
Or
whatever.
a horse, like they get kicked in the head type of thing.
Exactly. Some sort of trauma in the historical realm lends itself to amnesia for whatever reason. But yeah, that's maybe that's my guilty pleasure trope. I don't know, but I'm like, whenever I see that, I'm like, ooh, I think I need to read that.
I'm always nervous though, because I'm like, is this gonna work? Because Krista Sandor wrote an amnesia one last year, I think it was. And going into it, she's like, I have this idea. I don't know if it's gonna work, but it works so well. And we're like,
Oh,
yes.
nice. Okay, I have to read that one. I'll have to look that
Yeah,
up.
it's called the baseball card boyfriend.
The baseball card boyfriend.
Yeah,
Okay.
actually that whole series is like delightful, but that book is my favorite. Like, let me just say, it starts out with our heroine on the bus with a bunch of like geriatric drag queens.
Oh, fun. Okay,
And then
that's
it just
exciting.
goes from there. So
Yeah.
It is wonderful, and we love Krista, so.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm gonna check that out.
But let's chat Leave You Hanging, which let me
Okay.
tell you, I love these punny titles.
Yeah, I can't resist a pun.
So it comes out November 4th, 2025. It is small town. Our heroine is divorced. Our hero is a bar owner, but he doesn't want anybody to know he's a bar owner. And it kind of devolves from there. But we have
Yes.
Jack and Bonnie, who they are a couple years apart. They both grew up in the same small town, but they have very different experiences in this small town. But I love this small town. Like, I want to visit them. But so the book opens up, and Bonnie is blitzed out, drunk, because she has just finalized her divorce. And it kind of like that is like her catastrophic moment of chaos that leads to the rest of the story. What made you open the book in that way?
So Bonnie has been sort of in the background of the rest of the series. You sort of saw what was coming with her divorce, her marriage, really, in the other books. And so I really wanted a moment where Bonnie hit rock bottom. Like
Well, because she's so put together.
she's so put together and perfect, and that's part of her, you know, that's part of her thing. She's a people pleaser. And she just really needed a moment to be vulnerable, and she needed someone to see her that way, and that's really where it came from. And when I was plotting this book, like this scene, this first thing, that was the first thing that came to me. I love the drunk caretaking aspect. I love a caretaking scene. Like that sort of microtrope is just, oh, I eat that up every time. So you know, add in that she's very vulnerable and being funny and drunk, and you know. And that is what's happening in this scene. And Jack is sort of stuck taking care of her, which I also like. So it's a little bit heartbreaking, but also humorous at the same time, which is the balance I try to.
Well, and Bonnie is one of those characters who, throughout the series so far, like what we've gotten of her, like she takes care of everybody else. Like she is the caretaker. Like taking care of people is her love language. And so it kind of it's nice in some ways to see those types of characters like flipped on their head, because now they're like they don't know what to do when they need the care.
And I like that aspect that really Jack initially is the only one that gets to see her this way. And that's important for the story too.
Well, and Jack, he was like the town like bad boy, the juvenile delinquent, essentially, which I mean, he basically was because he gets caught doing some stuff. He has to, like, and there are consequences to it, but he has really turned his life around, but he still does not see himself as anything different than what he used to be. And he feels the town doesn't see him that way either. But as the book progresses, we see the town does not see him as this idiot kid that he used to be. Like, they see him. Well, the ones that know he's the business owner, they see him as this like business owner who's capable.
Yeah, and that's a big part of his journey too, like figuring out that he's internalizing a lot of this, you know, and projecting it onto this town, these people, his neighbors, you know, and he does actually does belong. So I think that's a big, all of my books try to take a look at small town life. And you know, whether you stay at home or you move away or you come back, there's all these aspects of your small town life. And I try to explore that in all the books.
So is our small town a real small town or elements of different small towns?
Kirby Falls, I'm from a small town in North Carolina where I live. It's very Hallmark. We have festivals, we have Christmas parades.
We have a Halloween parade.
I love that. Yeah. I mentioned in the book the Halloween Main Street event. We do that. You know, so I do, I like I pull some things and then I embellish others and you know, I make some things how they want to be. We do have lots of apple orchards and agritourism here, but there's not one farm that has exactly everything I describe. I make it what I want it to be. And so there's pieces and parts from the town that I live in. And it'll get you pretty close. But yeah, it's not, Kirby Falls is, is special. And I'm writing the final book in this series right now, and I think it's probably going to break my heart to finish this series.
It's probably going to break a lot of people's hearts.
I just love it a lot. So yeah, I'm glad it's resonating with other readers and makes you want to visit that setting or, you know, that's very
Well,
fun.
I love a small town book. Like, I mean, but I mean, I grew up, I didn't actually grow up in a small town. I grew up in the middle of nothing. And then I moved to a small town. So this is about as city as I will ever get. Like, that's how I like to joke about it. I'm like, I live in the city, but it's not the city. But it's so much busier than what I got, like what I grew up with. Side note, like when my husband and I first got married, we moved out to where I grew up. The man did not sleep for 6 months. He's like, there's no noise. There's no lights. He's like, I swear somebody's going to come and like murder us in our sleep. I'm like, nobody is coming to kill us. Like, we are okay. Don't you worry. But yeah, like 6 months, he did not sleep like at all.
Oh man, that's tough. Yeah, it's we had to we had sound machines in like every room when we first moved into our house because the crickets were so loud.
Oh,
I
they do
just
get
could
real loud.
I was like, it's so loud. I cannot sleep. But it was like nature sounds too loud. It was very,
Well,
yeah,
it's
I
like
was very
that's,
dramatic.
it's not silent at all, but it's like a different kind of noise.
For
Yeah,
sure.
my youngest does not, she will sleep at my parents' house, but she's like, it's too quiet. I'm like, well, you get used to it. Like you like that. So I love a small town book because of that. But there's just something about this small town. Like the town really like comes together and like the book itself, like they have Maddie B's, which is like the local bar, and then they have Magnolia, which is like the main setting of this book, where it's where all the leafers hang out, which I love the fact that all the tourists are called leafers.
Yeah, my husband and I made that up. I don't I like I've Googled around to see if I got that from anywhere, but I really my husband and I will just grumble good-naturedly about the leafers that cross the road when it's not, you know, when they're downtown and walking and
And they
they
just cross the
jaywalk, they
road.
just cross. I'm like, "Ah, oh, leafers." Or we'll go somewhere and, you
The
know, we can't get a table because it's leafer
leafers.
season. But we use it year-round. But like it could be summer and I'll call them leafers or you know, around Christmas time. So they're always leafers, but it's always good-natured grumbling.
Yeah, we have
So.
the same thing because anytime there's a festival or like something happening, and a lot of times, like, so the way we are, there's like two tiny towns like connected. So it's like one big town, but they're still separate. And sometimes things will be going on in both of them. It's like, oh, I have to go into Zilly, but I have to get through the Harmony crap on top of it. So it's like, it's just chaos. It's like, it's nice because it's great for the economy, but
Right.
why must
Yeah.
they be here?
We need these tourists, but do we? Yes, sadly.
And so Bonnie's arc through the story is really kind of taking control of like her narrative on, and she's in therapy for anxiety. That's not a spoiler, which honestly, like I live with that, like not me personally, but my husband, like reading Bonnie's like internal thoughts, I'm like, oh my gosh, I married this. Like it's so true. Like you got her style of anxiety so on point. And I love the fact that like she's in therapy because I am a big proponent for therapy. I think it's a wonderful thing. But it's so real. And it
That's
is
great.
hard to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's a I don't feel like it's an experience you see a lot in romance novels or you don't read a lot. So it was kind of important that, you know, Bonnie's going through this life change, getting a divorce, you know, when she's in her 30s, after she's been with someone half of her life, you know, that she's seeking healthy ways to sort of, you know, get through this. And I wanted that to be front and center. So she maybe isn't making the best decisions in all areas of her life,
Yeah,
but
but who
that's one.
does?
Yeah, you can't, you know, you got to make them real. You got to make them flawed. That's how we all are.
Well, and like in her situation, like you expect these kind of things to happen. Like you understand like why she like is reacting and acting the way she is because of what she's going through. And but she has Jack as like that buffer for her, who she can be realer with him than she feels like she can be with anybody else because he's this like outside entity.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's very true. Like it's It's hard to be your real self, even with people you love. You know, they're so used to seeing one version of you. And then when something changes that, it's hard. Those expectations are really hard.
Well, she talks about how like anytime her sister Mac is like checking in on her, she's like, I just want her to stop. She's like, I appreciate it and I love her, but they need to realize like I don't need this right now. And I mean that it's a very valid feeling. Like you appreciate people checking in on you, but the way that they're doing it doesn't help. So Jack himself, like I said, he owns the bar, but not very many people know this. He has his grandmother as like his only family. And I really enjoyed Leah's character because she is out there, she's living her life, like, but she holds back at the same time, but it's like she's kind of set in her ways. She's not curmudgeon-y, but a little curmudgeon-y.
Yeah, she's on her way to Grimmage. Give her like 5 years.
But she also is very open with him, which I think was a nice side of it. Like they love each other. They just have a different style of loving. And that is one thing that he talked about too. Like she, he, un, like he knows that she loves him, but they're not very demonstrative in it.
And yeah, I wanted that contrast between Bonnie's family, who is suffocating her. You know, and then you've got Jack and Leah, who they just have each other and they sort of form their family with this sort of grouchy old lady. And then, I mean, he calls her Leah, he doesn't call her grandma. And I liked their relationship a lot, and I got really great feedback on Leah's character from like my alpha readers and beta readers and stuff who loved her sort of salty, sassy nature
I
and the way
mean,
that she and Jack were together.
I love a salty old lady in a book. Yeah, I mean, honestly, my goal in life is to be a salty old lady.
Want to be Leo when I grow
I mean, I
up.
am Leah, just that style of Leah. Different spelling. Yeah, there's just something about her character and like the relationship that they had, because they have this moment at the end of the book where she's like, what are you doing? Like, what have I, like, I have shown you these things. Why are you not paying attention to it?
Yeah, he needed that moment.
He did, because they definitely had their third act breakup and it wasn't long. It was more of a pause than a breakup, but because he was a dummy, as one would be.
I can never drag it out, because that's like angst is so hard for me. I
So it
just
makes you
I
emotionally
can't.
distraught.
It really does. And you have to read your own book when you're writing it so many times. So I don't want to stress myself out. So yeah, my third act breakups are usually pretty short and they get resolved pretty quickly.
But I love revisiting the characters of like the book's past, because we have everybody, like we have Becca and Will, and we don't have a lot of Mark, but we have Candace, and then Mac and Brady, which they still are bickering.
I wasn't ready to let go of them, so yeah, they got to participate a little bit more. But yeah, I'm always gonna that's one of my favorite things about a small town romance series is,
Is
even when I'm
going
reading,
back.
you love to see these people pop up and whatever's going on with them. Maybe they're getting married, maybe they're pregnant, or things are changing for them too. And it's nice to revisit. So I'm always gonna drop a few cameos in there.
I just want to visit this small town like so hard, and also just like the bakery. I wanted more of the bakery this time around.
More bakery.
But
There's a lot of food in these books.
there
Like
is a lot of food.
I don't think I should do more with that, but or warn people at least. Like usually,
Don't go
some of my
hungry.
early yeah my early readers will be like, "There's so much food. I really want this." And
There is, but there's also, so when I was finishing up the book, I was laying in bed last night and I made notes of my thing, because one thing, I cannot believe the Pride and Prejudice hand flex is 20 years old. Like I looked
Yeah,
at, because you put the date in there and I'm
I
like,
did.
oh no. It's like, oh, that makes me old.
Yeah, it re-released in the theaters this summer to celebrate the 20th, and that's what like triggered it. I was like, it's really been 20 years.
I can't believe that's been 20 years.
Wild.
That is my favorite Pride and Prejudice, though.
Same,
And
same.
also Panda Mode.
Yeah.
I love Panda Mode.
You
Like, I
gotta
want
do
to
it.
live in Panda Mode.
Yeah. I was a teacher briefly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get the you gotta recharge somehow.
Yeah. Well,
For
and
sure.
honestly, who doesn't love you? I'm not telling you what panda mode is, people. You have to read to find out what panda mode is. I mean, if you know what a panda does, you can figure it out,
Is it
but
rolling around in the grass? Is it eating bamboo?
yes, are
You
we
gotta read
eating?
it.
Yes. There's just so many little elements. Like there's stuff with the kids of the school and how it ties in with Jack, and there's a bunny, which that is so funny. There's just so many little pieces that I just really enjoyed reading and going back to Kirby Falls so much.
Yay.
So what's next?
So next is going to be Joan's book. Joan is Candace's sister, grumpy sister, and
Yes.
Bonnie's friend. So it's sort of like a natural progression through the books. Yeah, she's going to be on my Grumpy Sunshine book. She's the grump, he's the sunshine. I don't know that I've shared this anywhere before, so exclusive. He's a celebrity who comes to Kirby Falls to shoot a movie. And he's very sunshine, and there's a bit of an age gap. She is older,
Oh, I
and
like
he
that.
yeah, I like that too. So that's what's happening with that book. Some surprises along the way, and I already know how everything's gonna end, so
Well, and
I've
you
already
Easter
like
egged a little bit in this book, because then
I
I read,
did.
well, because at the end of the arc, you have the preview for the next one. I was like, oh, that's where she's going with that.
So it should be a little different. I don't historically, as a reader, I do not love celebrity romance.
I have a hard time with them sometimes too.
Like rock star, it's just so far removed from like my daily life. I'm like, do you not do laundry? Do you not, you don't know how to make a sandwich?
I personally, like, for a while, like, I had a hard time with the lifestyle of it. It's like, it doesn't make sense. Like, not every single person lives like that. So.
So it's different. So I don't even remember what made me want to write or like what gave me the idea. I think it was, I don't know, that there's a moment where they're having book club. There is book club in Kirby Falls, and they want to go watch an adaptation from one of their favorite books. And I think it was then that I was thinking Joan would be against this because it would be not true to the romance novel. She would
Yeah.
not want the adaptation, but it's going to end up that he is the actor from the adaptation. And that's sort of like how it came about. But he is going to be like a little bit spoiled. He's a little spoiled, and she's going to sort of remind him, that you're a real person too. And he's very charming, and that part of it's going to be very fun. But she kind of also puts him in his place, and I like that a lot too.
Well,
So,
I mean, she's no nonsense.
yeah. And so he's going to be a single guardian in this one. So he has a nephew that he's raising, and so
Okay.
that's gonna,
Be the kind of the tie-in for a lot of
yeah,
things.
that's
Okay.
gonna it's gonna bring them together in sort of a way. But yeah. So I've never written a single guardian book. And I've never written celebrity, and so this book will be
A
some
challenge.
brand new elements, yep, and definitely a challenge. So, but I'm really looking forward to it
Well,
and
we're
also sad
looking
about
forward to it
it.
too.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lainey, for joining me on this and chatting Leaf You Hanging. And we are so excited. We love your stories. We talk about them a lot, as you
Thank
know.
you. Yeah, I'm so happy to be on and say hi to your readers, and this has been really great. I appreciate it.
Right, until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.